Well, James Packer has been grilled by the Independent Liquor and Gaming Inquiry about his fitness to hold a casino licence for the Crown Casino in Barangaroo in Sydney. There's a lot at stake. And Tina Quinn asked James Thompson, a Chanticleer columnist for the Australian Financial Review, what has been the most damning testimony so far?
Well, look, I think we've seen a lot of quite extraordinary sessions in the witness box. I think Packers was probably the sort of high point. His revelations, I guess, is the right word about what he knew or didn't know about the way Crown operated in terms of junkets, the revelations about the threats he made against an unnamed Melbourne businessman. Those were pretty extraordinary. We very rarely get to see Packer in any public forum in recent years, and to see him in a witness box admitting to those things was quite amazing.
The ease with which Packer was able to procure a casino licence in the first place has always been questioned, given that only one casino licence was at that time allowed to be held in the state of New South Wales. How did an unsolicited offer from James Packer on a prime building site get approved?
That's a great question. I think the fact that it got approved is one thing. The fact it got approved with no public tender, no real public scrutiny, no real correspondence entered into at all is the question that really needs to be asked. Packer had attempted to get a casino licence when the first licence came up in Sydney back in the late 90s and was unsuccessful. Clearly, he's always said he wanted to do something in his hometown since then. But managing to get this over the line was, I guess, one of those Packer family moments. It's they've always sort of had a mercurial touch. And managing to get that through without much in the way of due process was a great example of how nobody used to say no to the Packers very often.
Yes, it does seem straight out of the playbook of Sir Frank and Kerry. There are, of course, questions being posed around James Packer's mental health. Do you think this also plays into people's concerns around Packer's involvement with Crown?
Yeah, look, I mean, I've actually got a lot of admiration for James Packer in the way he's been so open about his mental health. I mean, society's full of people with mental health problems and quite often there's a stigma attached to it. So I think he deserves some credit for being public about that. Whether his mental health issues will make him, will go to whether he's a fit and proper person, I'm not so sure. I think it's more about the level of governance and oversight and transparency around Crown. I think that's what's going to decide. That's what's going to be the deciding issue here. When he decided to sell a stake in Crown to Melco, which is, of course, majority owned by his great friend Lawrence Ho, when he decided to do that deal, he unfortunately bought Crown in the orbit of the late Stanley Ho, who's Lawrence's father and was accused of having links to organised crime. Never proven those links, but that deal just put Crown in the wrong position. It brought Crown too close to those unsavoury allegations, and that's what's led to this inquiry.
Packer claims that he's no longer on the board of Crown, yet he has still been receiving shareholder briefs that seemingly no other shareholder has received. What do you make of this?
It's quite extraordinary. I mean, the lengths that Crown has gone to make sure that Packer got special treatment, it really does amount to special treatment, confidential information, stuff that other shareholders aren't seeing. The lengths that the Crown board went to do that are amazing. Crown first had a services agreement with Packer's private company while Packer was on the board. And then when he left the board in 2018, they set up a special controlling shareholder protocol. I think the Australian Council of Superannuation Investors said it best the other day when they said they'd never seen anything like this in the ASX 200 before. It's just an extraordinary mechanism, and you just wonder why the board approved it.
The fingerprints of Robert Rankin, who at one time ran Consolidated Press and was executive chairman of Crown, they seem to be everywhere. So there's numerous email chains into which he was copied, which have actually been used as evidence quite repeatedly during the inquiry. His presence was recorded at crucial meetings, and his name seems to keep coming up during witness testimony. Yet he's yet to be called himself as a witness. What's your take on this?
Well, look, I think it would certainly the inquiry would certainly benefit from hearing from Rankin. He has been named several times in a string of documents, but I think also he's been thrown under the bus to a certain extent. The fact he has been MIA has meant that James Packer was able to put a fair amount of blame for several of Crown's problems on the shoulders of Rankin. Was that fair or unfair? It's hard to say, and I think that's why it would be good for him to be called in front of the inquiry. It's not really clear why that hasn't happened, but it would. I think, you know, the public interest, which is obviously very high here, would be served by hearing from Rankin at some stage. The arresting of Crown staff in China in October 2016 was the sort of shock to many in Australia. It really brought home the risks involved in a casino business where you are reliant to some extent on international VIPs. The way Packer tells it, he had relied on Rankin as a quote-unquote China expert, in Packer's view, to sort of make sure there was proper oversight of Crown's activities in China. And when that clearly went wrong with the arrest of the Chinese staff, Packer has cheated a lot of the blame home to Rankin and also to Crown's former chief executive, Rowan Craigie.
Well, lastly, James, there's obvious concerns at present with the future of Crown Casino and that Sydney could be left with this very large building just sitting idle on its harbour. Do you foresee him having to divest, and what do you think the future is for Crown Casino?
I think it's very hard to say. I think almost certainly whoever has that Sydney Casino licence in the future will face a raft of new conditions out of this inquiry. Now, the question is, does Crown retain that licence, or will the inquiry recommend that it's taken off Crown? I think it's very hard to call at the moment, and whether that would be quite a nuclear option for the state government, who, as you say, would be left with a big hole in the ground and an empty casino, potentially. An alternative could be to bring in another operator for the casino. No doubt there'd be plenty of interest in that. And then you've got the question of what happens with the governance of Crown itself. Does the inquiry recommend that Packer's influence is curbed through some sort of cap on shareholdings? I think that's quite possible. And Packer, in his evidence to the inquiry, seemed to be bracing for some sort of limit on his shareholding. So I think that's probably a pretty good indication that that's where we might be heading.
James Thompson, Chanticleer columnist at the Australian Financial Review, speaking there with Tina Quinn.